Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you are here in the form of the Holy Ghost, Lord, being visible by a pillar of fire to a prophet, vindicated to us, Lord, by the things that you have done in your own name. Taking a picture even, Lord, we appreciate that so much. And as Father, the bride rejoices for the coming of the bridegroom, may we be a rejoicing people who know thee, Lord, in this little engagement period of time, as it were, when we are both getting to know each other. You know us, Lord, from center to circumference, from heart to surface, whatever, Lord. Our goings out, our coming in, nothing is hidden from thee, Lord. But so much we need to know of you, and in that, Lord, we need to receive that love which we feel we will receive by knowing that word about you, Lord, that your own word, Father, which is life and which is truth. So help us to know today as we've never known before, and to keep on progressing, O God, in the knowledge of yourself until the resurrection takes place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated now. We're still in our studies, and I guess we're up to about number 24. And I think a little later on we'll be able to literally cut out some illustration Brother Branham is using, or read them very rapidly, and see if we can get finished before the turn of the year. Now, you know, of course, that I'm not too anxious to leave this particular study, because, as I mentioned last night and repeat again, that I'm convinced that this message does more for us than any message we have previously looked into as pertaining to the fulfillment of the prophetic utterance of Paul, wherein he mentions here in verse 17 of Ephesians 1 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened. In other words, the Spirit of God will come at the last age, as Brother Branham said. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the church to let the church know what hour it's living in, to place the church, which is under church order, and then to bring about a resurrection. As he said, Christ comes down head of the church in order to resurrect the dead. So the church then knows the hour in which is living, and the great mysteries that God has to reveal to the church, and then take us away in resurrection and rapture. So, looking at that last night, we came across some words there which are very, very important to us. And one, of course, is that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is in the knowledge of him, wherein God alone can impart knowledge to us concerning himself. And, of course, that is by the Holy Ghost. And we know that that is not an individual thing, where any individual in this church, from myself here to every one of you, can begin to say something and believe that it is definitely that which is meant by God. The quoting of Scripture is not necessarily true, because you can quote Scripture to your detriment. You can misplace it, take it out of context, give it a fallacious meaning, the way that the Pharisees did. Jesus himself said, you made void my word by your traditions. In other words, they did not have a true revelation interpretation of God's word, and they made it void. And in making a thing void, the life of God goes out of it, and there is no way, though you talk about it and scream about it and pray about it and beg about it and try to work about it, that you will ever get the life of that promise in you and through you and for you. You can't do it. Which merely means, I'm telling you, if you don't have a revelation of the rapture, you're never going to make it. I'm sorry, but that's it. You say, well, I don't believe it. Don't believe anything. Go do what you want. This pulpit does not use the club. I'm up here, and I'm a Libra, which means I'm sarcastic, I'm acerbic, I'm ironic and everything. I'll hit, and I'll hit hard. But I don't expect anybody to believe it, unless there's something in you that says, that's it. It's a revelation. I can't hammer anybody, although I do hammer up here, but it's not at you personally. I hammer more at myself, because I know that these things are true that the prophet brought us. And I know that I must stay with them at all times, and I encourage you in any way I can to stay with it. Now it says the eyes of your soul, your understanding, will be enlightened. This is a time of understanding. Not simply a time of knowing something. Well, hey now, there is going to be a tornado. My brother Sproul brought out the fact that article he read up in Canada. where when it comes to a tornado, actually a tornado is in such delicate balance that your hand swatting could cause it to take place. So when Brother Branham threw that stone up in the air, it literally caused that tornadic force to come and rip stones out of a stone wall. Well, you say, hey, that's giving me understanding. You bet it is, honey. That's what understanding is, knowing what's behind things, knowing principle. People's understanding of nature. Had we used our scientific know-how, and by that I mean that we had spent our mental energies of observation, analysis, and synthesis, and have used them in the right direction, this earth would not be void of nutrients. So we're all starving to death while we're living. This earth would be full of it. We would not only have what always has been when you go back 6,000 years, we could actually have seen that it was maintained and never depleted. Man did not have a true understanding of nature. He had a lot of knowledge, but he doesn't have understanding, and he doesn't have it now. Now, the Bible distinctly says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. They don't have a true mechanical understanding or delivery of the Word of God. Now, with the true mechanical delivery of restoration, there must be an understanding. And so that's what we're looking at. The eyes of your understanding. In other words, the ability to understand lies within us and will be anointed by God in order to know what is back of what all we see today in consummation. That's why Brother Branham literally tells us, and this, who is this Melchizedek, that he goes back into the eternities. So, what I'm going to do here before we get into it, and I don't know where I'm going to really start and end. Don't worry about me. You just sit there and be nice kids, and I'll see if I can find something. But anyway, we're looking at something here, and we're going to call this up here eternity. And down here, we're going to call this eternity. Why? Because it's so. Up here, we're going to call this ability to sow. Whoops, that's pretty poor, isn't it? Down here, right in here, we're going to call this sowing. And down here, we're going to call this reaping. Notice I put it on the line. This sowing should be on the line, too. Right? So, we just want you to look at that for a while, and we'll just talk about it more. So, all right, we're talking about this here, where the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. That's just previous to the resurrection and the departure in this place here. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, he's going to be very specific about the revelation. The revelation is not only the mechanical, a true and respected group of facts that come together concerning Him, so that you have a complete knowledgeable treatise as far as it can be given by God to man, and man can say, yes, 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 but not understand why, and what is going on. It's just like, look, I can switch a light on in this building, but I don't know what is going on. And believe me, I wouldn't for 1 minute try to hook up a bunch of lights or any power in this building, because I don't know the first thing about it. But I can agree with every single thing that's said about it, because it's simply a compilation of knowledge. But to understand it, hey, forget it. See? Now, so that's what you're looking at. Now, if you're following me closely, I know, at least I hope you are, Because in Brother Branham's ministry, people saw things, they knew things from visual observation, they tried to take it to the Bible, and they flunked. Because there was no understanding of the knowledge that they accrued. And I'm going to use myself an illustration, of course, I'm very, very clever, very wonderful, and a wonderful person you're listening to. But let's get the facts straight. When I first saw Brother Branham and heard him, I was in a most glorious backslidden condition. In other words, I cared nothing about anybody or anything anymore, spiritual entities, except they bugged me. Because I was going to live for myself and die for myself because I thought Christianity wasn't worth a plug nicker than what I saw and had anything to do with. I was miserably entreated by people when I tried to do my best for them. It was just like a skunk at a garden party. And I said, who needs it? Now, some of you folk have been through the same thing, and you've recovered the same as I did. And I heard Brother Branham. I saw the great ministry. I sat and cried for 2 solid hours. And I knew I would have to go back to where I left off. And something said to me, if you ever listen to any man, this is the man to listen to. That was my understanding from my knowledge. Another great man, Pentecostal man, sat there. And a voice said to him, this is the way it's done in the Bible. You can do it too. He had a knowledge but no understanding. You understand what I'm saying? All right, this is what we are looking at. I've called it, and I use terms that are very vulgar, and I say it's what you call spilling your guts. And if the person doesn't know what you're doing, they tramp all over your guts. And I have very good reason to call my statement scriptural because the Bible speaks of bowels, and bowels are guts. Jesus Christ literally spilt himself to the people, and they killed him. Then at this time, if God spills himself to the people, they will crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. It'll be based on the same thing. Knowledge without understanding. What is psychiatry? It's the stupidest, vainest attempt to tell what is really behind behavior. And it comes to the place where most psychologists and psychiatrists, when they take female problems, they end up lying with the woman on the couch in seduction, fornication, and adultery, showing what we are like with the Word of God without understanding. Now, at this end time, God is determined to have a people who understand. And if you look at the life of William Branham, you'll find that there was no page unturned and no stone unturned. There was nothing that wasn't done in order to bring us to the place that we talk about to pass in to the millennium. Because the understanding is on this side, not that side. We pass over into our death and wherever we're going, and we are there exactly as we are here. Shocking, isn't it? The only thing changes is geography. Kind of like talking like this makes you ready to blow your brains out, except you get there quicker and maybe a little worse shape than if you stuck around a while to improve. But it's not something to lament about and something to fear. It is something to realize that God is doing this, and when God sets his heart to do something, and it's an eternal setting of the heart, because he doesn't change, then this is going to happen to a bride. There will be a bride who understands. And she will know God, as the scripture says at the end time, when the final portion of the word is given, that which is perfect is come. There's no more parts. The seventh part, seven seals, Seven church age messenger, seven thunders. It's all done because God moves in sevens, and when he can't change it. See, he moves in sevens. So now at the seventh church age, that which is perfect has come, the perfect revelation, which includes mechanics, which includes knowledge and understanding. When that which is perfect is come, then in part is done away. There'll be no more parts to be added. It is at that time that we shall see and understand as we ourselves are. In other words, this spirit of revelation that comes and proven it's a true revelation, with it will bring understanding of what it is all about. Like Brother Branham said, where did we come from? Where are we going? Why am I here? These are the things that must be answered before there is a rapture, as far as I can understand what this scripture says and what Brother Branham taught us. So there's going to be an understanding, enlightenment. And we will know. Now it says that you may know. Actually, not only may know, but the truth is that we will know whatever we're supposed to know. And we will know what the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the states, the last of the saints. Last night we showed you what that inheritance was. There is no doubt at all that it is the saints. So therefore, what God is going to do, he's going to give a perfect picture of his understanding from the viewpoint that he is the author and creator, the progenitor, the father of the bride. And he's going to tell us all about ourselves. At the same time, he tells us all about ourselves. And this, of course, when it comes into full view, will make us so anxious to be with the bridegroom in the physical capacity, there would be nothing that can possibly constrain us and keep us from that union. Not even the dead, because they will come out of the ground because of us. Until we are ready, they cannot come up, for they without us cannot be made perfect. And think, as I've already told you, concerning that theophonic form that we bypass, that they go to, that Brother Branham said, don't miss this. Well, just a minute now. If we're in the rapture, we're going to miss it. Temporarily. You don't even have to go to it. And you and I will come out in the same place that they, in their completion, come out, and we meet it. Then what is going on now? See, what is going on now? What great thing is God doing in a bride physically? Spiritual concept to begin with, to bring forth a physical, because that's exactly what we saw when we put it on the board. God in spirit form to bring out a physical. That's what we saw. Well, I wanted to find another color, but it's all right. Spirit. Which he was up here entirely. On this border, starts moving to a physical. How did he move into a physical? Through word spoken. So you can see there must be then a spiritual context that you and I will enter into to get that body, that the saints had to enter into a spiritual context, a spiritual body, to come back and get the glorified body. Which spiritual context they would not have moved into, except they were seed baptized with the Holy Ghost. Which could only be bypassed if you were bride and died as a child. There wouldn't be many of those. So now we come to this place where we are and have entered into the realm of the Shelby to come into here. From eternity to eternity. Came from God and go back to God. All right, he says here, what is the hope of his calling? The word hope, of course, is always earnest expectation. Now, that calling, you'll notice, is his calling. It's a special thoughts here. I like Vine as well as anybody. He said the word calling is a noun. It's akin to number one, which is a verb. Klesis is always used in the New Testament of that calling, the origin, nature, and destiny of which are heavenly. The idea is of an invitation. Now, the point is, God, in expressing his own calling at this time, literally is giving an invitation, not that you and I can join into it, as though you and I had an invitation, which is subsequent to the initial invitation to come into Christ, having come out of Christ to begin with, and deep calling to a deep, it would be an invitation as in Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom, come out and meet him. Why? Because it says God is going to bring the Spirit, his own Spirit, which is that Spirit of Christ, which is Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost in the pillar of fire, because that's how God operates, coming down here at the end time. Now it says it always implied that the origin, nature, destiny are heavenly. It's not just implied, it is there. It is used especially of God's invitation to man accept salvation. But what about this one down here? So there are some various scriptures that are used where that word, that very same word is used. And I think it might be a good idea to look at them. And as I said, it's going to take a while to get through this sermon here because I'm not interested in finishing it. I'm interested in going to every single facet that I can possibly do because I want to know myself. Now it says here in Romans 11 and 29, I'll just read it, never look it up. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now, you know actually that happens to do with Ephesians, the 4th chapter, more than any other place in the Bible. For it says, unto every one of us, it says in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling. Now, the hope of your calling has got to end up in Ephesians chapter 1. The end time bride has got to have that, got to be in that group. And you notice in there, those callings are delineated, set forth in the Holy Ghost coming back to this earth, as it did to Paul in the pillar of fire, and set the church in order. Because none of the 11 apostles set the church in order. No, sir, they merely started a platform. And the cornerstone, which is now the headstone, was the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ in a pillar of fire, not to baptize the church, which he'd already started doing, but was to inform the church and put it in order and to build it. And it built upon the platform of the first 53 years, which would be 17 years since the time, 53 would, from 30 be almost roughly 20 years. Kind of like the space of silence. A half hour it took to build the platform. And from that time on, it's been building. Say, all right. What did he do? He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Now, the apostle Paul has already said, you may have many teachers, but you've only got one father because I have begotten you in the gospel to Jesus Christ. And he said, if any man is a spiritual person, or any man's got that is having the Holy Ghost, and if any man's a prophet, let him admit that what I say, not what you say, or any pastor, any prophet, any teacher, any evangelist, or anybody else says, but what I say is the truth. So therefore they are copycats. Anybody that does not agree to the word by word repeating of the Apostle Paul is nothing but a spiritual ignoramus. Or a make believer and unbeliever. That's when Brother Branham stood before the last day group of people. He said, I preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. For to change one word of what Paul said absolutely shows that that person is in the class of Cain, which is the seed of the serpent. Now you do what you want. I'm sorry. You see, you're hitting me, brother. I'm not hitting anybody because I'm hitting myself just the same as you. If I add one word, I'm in that class. Take one word. The very best you could be is foolish virgin, which brings me to one little thought. Well, I won't worry about it right now. We'll get another time. Now notice in here, the gifts and the callings of God without repentance. And notice what the callings of God are in here. You have yours, everybody has his, and Brother Branham talks about it, and we'll hit it later on when he illustrates, and he said, I was sent here for a purpose to be in this pulpit, and you were sent there to the pew and sit there to listen. So therefore, this is part of it, and this cannot change because this has everything to do with the bride, and this signifies the church order. So therefore, this one that comes down in Ephesians is going to set the church back in order. Right? That's why Brother Branham treats church order. And church order is not, as we have said, a little room and you put tongues in there and a few gifts. Forget it. Why, you can have the devil's church in tongues in order. The devil's church can have perfect church order. Just put the gifts in there. Of course, they'll flunk in just one place. They have no right to go in unless somebody has the gift of discerning spirits. That would sure pull out what was hooky-poo, couldn't it? On the other hand, you're going to the discerning of spirits and see everyone's anointed by God and their genuine gifts, and every person be a Judas. Serpent seed. No, callings of God. Here you are. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Let's look at these where it comes out, callings. And you notice every single one has to do with that which is with God, which is word-oriented. Word is God-oriented, and God is word-oriented because they're one. And the Hebrews always make God and His Word synonymous, and so must we. Brother Branham categorically made them synonymous. Even the Rhema and the Logos are interchangeable. Don't believe what these guys come running around the country tell you. Believe what I'm saying here. I'll answer for you on this. I'll fight the good fight of faith with the wrong doctrine. You sit and listen. You say, oh, you're taking a lot upon you. Yes, I am. And if you turned it down, that's your tough luck. Somebody came and said, Lee Vale, I'll pay all your bills and I'll take care of your debts. I say, hallelujah. Come right along, boy. Sit there and raise your hump if you want. Do what you want. I don't feel any bad spirit, but I know one thing. People do have bad spirits over a subject like this. You may find yourself foolish virgin coming too late. Certain guy criticized me over the years. Oh, yeah, Lee Vale was wrong. Lee, Brother Branham didn't say so, and so Brother Branham didn't. They found out. You know, now he fought the presence all these years, and now he said, we've run out of gas. There must be something beyond the baptism with the Holy Ghost. You hear what I said this morning? I'm quoting word for word. What did the foolish virgin say? We've run out of gas.
Amen.
You better watch it, brother, sister. The message, the ministry, is to declare that He is here. That is not the baptism with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't got the baptism with the Holy Ghost, you won't recognize Him. Come on, take a look. Come on, take a look. How many really recognize Him? Who is it? Well, never mind who. What is it? The greatest expert of the hour said it's a supernatural being. Well, I don't think so. Well, who do you think you are? Fact. You couldn't tell a jackass from I don't know what. And set yourself up an expert on that. Head of the FBI. And documents, photographs. So I got my thoughts. You know what your thoughts are? God wouldn't do that. Why? Because I said so. You know that's the truth because you got no other reason to say it, nor would I. Well, I would say, well, that isn't God. Well, that's maybe a reflection of God. Maybe that's a... Where's your authority? Where's your authority? You can't even tell a fairly decent lie and get by with it. FBI catch you right now. Good lawyer. IRS. What about God who reads the heart? Say, Brother Bay, you make that too much. No, I don't. I make what's behind it too much. No, I can't make what's behind it too much. No, can I? No. No way. profit's gone. All I got left is that. Is that enough? More than enough? If I enlarge my capacity, now here's the point to enlarge it, okay? 1 Corinthians 1:26, it says here, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You see your calling. What calling? This is election. These are the ones who were born not after the will of man, the will of the flesh, pleasure or what otherwise, but born by God and from God and issuing forth. You see where your origin is. And when you see where your origin is and look around, you will find that not many mighty men, smart men, big men, knowledgeable men, moneyed men ever find it because they're too big for it and they're too big for that. Stupid little hillbilly preacher William Branham. Well, I wish I was as stupid as he is. They don't know what they're... Well, you know something? Anybody that dares... Now, if that should be God, if William Branham is of God, I don't care what he does, but if he comes in the name of the Lord and God vindicates that that is right and that is blasphemed, one word spoken against it, that man is doomed eternally to the lake of fire. Now, the word I say is doomed eternally. Although he is not eternal, he'll be wiped out eventually, but the sentence can never be reversed. Now, that's where we're sitting this morning, brother, sister. So I better know what I'm talking about, and by the grace of God, I believe I do, for my sake and for yours. All right. In 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Now that tells you there's a rigidity there that God demands, even our lives and our works. And I said, just stay in that calling. If you've got a real calling, you stay there. If you don't, you don't. Over in Ephesians 1:18, it's the same word. Ephesians 4:4 is the same word. So let's go to Philippians now, and let's begin to see something here that's quite interesting as far as I can look at the scripture concerning this calling. 3:14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what is he talking about? Let's go back and find out. It's in the 3rd chapter of Philippians. And he says, verse 4, though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisees, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless. Now, there's a real top-notch guy. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered this loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. He did not, and he cannot, know him as you and I know him. William Branham couldn't either, can't either. They will know the power of the resurrection from the viewpoint of the theophonic form as they come to pick up the body that's glorified. And I don't know that the dust will know anything about it. No doubt the Spirit returns to it somehow by the grace of Almighty God. The Spirit went to God in the first place. I don't know. Then the theophonic form containing the soul will proceed back. Pick up the glorified body, but you and I standing here will know what even Jesus didn't know, is to receive a glorified body. Paul did not know that, and he couldn't know it, only understanding it by the Word of God. I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain to the out-resurrection from among the dead. While other people are in a twofold death, according to Jude, according to Peter, all written out there. Just before the second coming, we wake from amongst the dead and take on life. Do you understand that? The thing is, how does it happen? Knowledge now turns to understanding, and Brother Branham told us, the cells build around the living word because this word has life in it that no other word had that kind of life. Because for the first time, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will now raise us from the dead and quicken us, according to the word of God. Now let's keep reading. If by any means I might attain to the out resurrection from amongst the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In other words, come to the place of the complete finishing off where there is nothing left but a resurrection, that God has got to remove the cherubim from the tree of life and say, come in, come in, come in, I can't keep you out. A violent attack upon God, as it were. At God's own initiative, he sees the bride approaching, steps out of the way and says, come right to the tree of life. What kind of a bride is that? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand it? God can't keep you out. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What force could possibly take the kingdom of God but the force of God wrenching it away from the enemy? And the enemy has had us down to the point where the sentence of death was in us, and it's appointed by God unto man to die, and after that the judgment. But in this hour it is reversed. The judgment comes now. White throne. And he said, take it easy, relax. Because though the earth is now cursed and the church is indicted at the judgment seat, you are free. You didn't even do it. Now, you know what I said, but you don't understand it. But you do. Because when you take it by faith, the Spirit of God quickens it to you, and you become a part of it, and you don't know why you understand, but you do understand, and we're getting understanding on the grounds that you were a child of God and a part of God, and God cannot sin any part of him, because in him there is neither light, there is neither darkness, nor a shadow of turning. That what he is the yesterday, today, and forever, so we are in our own little modicum. And that takes faith. It takes faith to separate the physical from the spiritual and not be a dog in doing it. That might have been a very crude and hard expression, but I'm thinking of a certain preacher in Canada who said, the spirit quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing, so I can do what I want in the flesh and operate in the spirit. And so it's fine to smoke cigars and cigarettes, though he didn't approve of that, but another preacher did. But he did approve of sleeping with a woman, not your wife, the night before, and then operating spiritual gifts. That's a dog. Male prostitute. The pulpits are full of them. That's why the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches must actually ordain homosexuals, because they're dogs. The dog is a male prostitute. Barking dogs with high-pitched voices, no doubt. We don't only have the Queen of Heaven, we got the Queen of the Homos with us, too. That's the old Libra coming out. Sarcastic, acerbic, ironic. Not as though I'd already attained, were already perfect. He couldn't. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What is he apprehended to? To the out resurrection. But he can't get it. He's got to go to the word body, the spirit body. and he's got to come back to it. But somebody is apprehended to it. Those that are apprehended, apprehend. Well, come on. You know a mechanic that can't do his job? He ain't no mechanic. No. Those that claim to be bride are apprehended, and they apprehend to what they're apprehended. I'm not using foolish language. I'm telling you the truth because deep calleth to deep, and I will talk about it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. That word means instantly behind you. In other words, Paul was responsible for and to, as a man, to what his immediate teachers taught him. Gamaliel was the main one. Therefore, the church today is responsible for and to what the present hour theology is. And if, because it's right with them, and if you are a bride, that is instantly behind you, and that is going to be the biggest stone that you've got to kick off your back. Because you will attempt, and I will attempt, to study everything and receive it and believe it in the light which is darkness. Because when new light comes, all other light is dark. The Bible said, if thy light becomes darkness, how great is thy darkness? So the hour of Ephesians 1, 17, 18, everything else becomes dark. A perfect picture of the kind old priest, the brother Pharisee, the brother Branham said was all white except one little dark piece. The light hit, he turned completely black. And the little prostitute, all black except one little white piece. When the light hit her, she turned all white. A prostitute turned white, and a fine, nice person turned all black and went to hell. And poor old Lazarus, the best he had, was licking crumbs up, and the dogs licking his sores, and he went all white. And the rich, rich man, he went all black. And the rich man went to Hades, lower Hades. He was down there with his problems that never, never landed. Brother Branham so abhorred and said, don't ever go near it. But Lazarus up there in Abraham's bosom was much, much comforted. And God said, this man gets his comfort because he believed in another kind of a comfort, but you took your comfort in the wrong comfort. People take a wrong light for a comfort and they die. Let's find out about the other side. Just understand it. Now he said, listen, forgetting the things that aren't and reaching forth to the things which are in front of me. And it's a reaching to do it because you've got to reach beyond yourself. And Paul speaks of himself. They said, you think I'm reaching beyond myself. And they said, William Branham, you're reaching beyond yourself. Ha! If you don't reach beyond yourself, you're dead this morning. You better reach as you never reached before until your muscles are sore and your neck is craning and your back's out of joint. That's right. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. And what was that prize? It was to be in the out-resurrection from among the dead. Now listen, he was already apprehended for it. Before when he was in Christ as in God, in Christ was, well, Christ was in God, to put it that way. So I am the Father, and I came from God. When he was up there as a modicum, a little germ of that spirit, which was designated through foreknowledge is a designation. It includes election of picking out. Now, when he was up there, he was already apprehended, designated, predestinated to it. Now he come on down here. And if there's a deep within him, calling unto a deep, it will answer the source it came from. Look, it's as simple as ABC. You do not even have a bluebird mating with a robin. So therefore, one seed will mate with the other seed. There'll be a call. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing for that which I was apprehended for up here in the eternity. Started down in here, came down in here. Now I'm coming up in this resurrection. I'm going to miss being on earth and alive at that time. But it's going to come, and I'll be right here and swing back in. From eternity to eternity. Can you believe that God Almighty has literally stretched His tent, exalted and extended His personality, has literally multiplied Himself and His glory through this period in here? And what son will not give honor to his father? So many sons don't even care about the fathers. Just give me this, give me that, give me this. Give me the car, give me the key, give me this, give me this. Act like a bunch of yahoos. Now Paul looked down the road and he spoke to you and he let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. Minded like what? Paul had the same drive that Jesus had. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained, but made himself like unto man, and took upon himself a form. And he was driven to Jerusalem to die. Nobody could deter him. And Paul also had the same sentiments. Now he said, you people in this hour, take my mind on you. I am driven to apprehend that which I have been apprehended for. In other words, if there isn't something deep within us screaming for that, there is something wrong somewhere. And I don't know any way to get into the Spirit except by the Word, because only the Word is the conduit to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is the only true revealer. So I'm trying to explain the mechanics. Listen, nevertheless, we're under attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. In other words, through six solid church ages, those who were looking for this perfection, looking for the end time message, the resurrection, for the Spirit of God to come in our midst and raise the dead. Then that same Spirit become incarnate to us at the wedding supper. Everybody was waiting for it. Now he said, as far as you have gone, you walk in the Word. And we have gone all the way, so we're walking in a new Word. And we're walking straight into immortality. And the bombshell is missing that Spirit Word form. We don't need it. Because we're baptized with the Holy Ghost and got the Holy Ghost, Almighty God, right with us, the form of a pillar of fire, and He's going to take us to the millennium. And people can't see that. They got a yo-yo spirit. He came down, He goes up, we don't know. I do know. I'm living in the presence and in the present. And I challenge any of you people, anybody in the world, that I'm wrong. I challenge you before Almighty God. I do not look back and I do not look forward. I tell you what is going on now, or I'll get out of this pulpit. That's not a challenge. I'm mad at anybody. It's just the truth. I've got to stand what I believe, and I know what I believe. If you want to run around and fool something else, you go and run around. But don't come to me for any answers. I'll tell you. I'll throw you out. You know why? Because you're fooling around. I'm not responsible for you. Hear anybody's tapes you want. Don't ask me any questions on them. I'm not responsible. Everything I say is on tape. It's recorded all the way through every last word here. I am responsible. If make a mistake, I'll come back and tell you. I've got to. We'll get nowhere this morning on this message, but it's all right. Let's go now to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. The first chapter in verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power. Now what is it? Let's start back here. And we read, 3, we are bound to give thanks to God always, you brethren, as it is meet, for that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Now notice what it says, it puts faith before love. Why? Because faith is a revelation, and revelation has to do with two things, the Word of God and God Himself. Now then, what kind of love that God's looking for, except the kind of love that comes out of the Word?
That's why I say if this church has a unity mind on the Word, that you listen to me. Because I'm going to be responsible. And if I'm right, this church will get what I'm talking about. And if I'm wrong, I'll go down with you, but we don't have a chance. Because we're ordained. Whatever is calling in me, if I believe it's out there, that can be true or false. It's the same with you. But I don't believe for 1 minute it's false. I got to believe that. You believe what you want. I am not responsible for anybody that doesn't believe. Whatever this church is sowing by word will come to pass, because up here is the great one who started sowing. And it comes right down here. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it says that God will pluck up every plant that God has not planted. Our prophet deliberately combined scripture, and I can't find how he got it, except I know God did. He said, I, the Lord, have planted it and watered it, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. You cannot find that in the Bible, but it is the Bible because the prophet said so. Paul the Apostle used stuff out of the Book of Wisdom, so don't you talk to me as a self-righteous bunch of stuffed shirts that you know Greek or anything else like funny you do. Don't kid me about that junk. Yeah, the great Greek student, he's suing another guy now because he used somebody's floppy disk or something. Good thing he didn't get with that Brian, baby. You want to know the truth? I'm telling you the truth. Listen to me. Your love grows and it abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution, tribulation you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. He's talking about the judgment. Listen, when does that take place? Actually, white throne. Because we're told not to judge before the time. And the judgment of God during the... Now listen, the judgment of God during the tribulation is upon all and over all. At the white throne, it's individual. What's he saying here? You trouble rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be rebuking them with his mighty angels right there. Well, that's just a picture. Well, have it your way. It's just, you're right. It's just a picture. What's behind it? Now they're trying to say that this cloud of steam, whatever was up there, way up, was a launching of a missile. There's no record of any launching. It's somebody's big mouth. They're filthy, stinking, satanic lies. Like the guy Weaver wrote a book because Billy Paul thought he's a nice guy. And now the book brings out that Brother Branham worked by a familiar spirit, just the same as it said in Matthew 12. They said, by whom does this man do these things? And they said, why, he does it by God. They said, hold it, he does it by the devil. And Jesus said, you get away with it now, but down the road, you're finished. You say, what about Brother Vail now? If that wasn't really us and somebody else comes on the scene, well, we're getting practice for it, you might say. And that was sarcastic to the uttermost, if you didn't catch it. Because I'm resting on William Branham, because once there is an original, everything else is counterfeit. Come on, let's at least have some brains of a louse. These mighty angels in flames of fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what catches people's eyes. And they say, oh, judgment, oh, vengeance, that's the great tribulation, that's this, that's that. Oh, hogwash, why don't you shut up and listen? To you that are troubled, rest with us at that time. How can you rest if you're in the tribulation getting fireballs from heaven and 100-pound hailstones popping you? Not referring to that at all. Come on, let's keep reading. Who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power? From the presence of the Lord. If you mess up with this presence, you shut your what? You're finished. Listen, this is judgment. The seven church ages are over. There is no more history. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't really. But we do. But it needs quickening. God help us, brother, sister. Let me tell you something. It's you and my unity of mind that's going to help here. Don't sit here this morning as a hypocrite. It's over. Because you will be responsible for everybody that's not healed and every time that sweet spirit of Christ cannot come here. And I will be more to blame than you even. Because from whom is given much, much is required. Now let me ask you a question then. Who has the most? God has. Then God requires of himself that which you and I would never dream to ask. They'll be punished. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That day, the group that Brother Branham said were resting on that. The testimony of Paul is believed at this time, at that time. And he vindicates, because the word vengeance can mean vindicate, he vindicates the bride and condemns the world, so they're in twofold death now. Evil plants plucked up by the roots. Now let this all sink in. Let's pray to God. Lord, don't let this leave my memory. The Holy Ghost was given for one reason, to bring all things to our remembrance. And we're not praying enough. God, fill my mind. God, fill my mind. God, fill my mind. If you are going to you are going to ascend to the self-esteem that God bestowed upon us, if we are going to, then we must fill ourselves with the self-esteem that God did bestow upon us, which is his word. And he uses that as glory. When he shall come to be glorified, wherefore always we pray for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Of this calling. It's the same word. Now how can God count anybody worthy? He said, be you perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven. Perfection and righteousness must have its roots in righteousness in perfection. And to be full-blown, it must be watered by the right rain and the right sun. Because a cloudy sun won't do it. And too heavy a rain won't do it. It's got to be the right combination. Which is God. And so he shelters the little tiny plants and waters. But the end time we can stand the full glare of the sun and the full deluge of the deep, because his billows, we read it in Psalm 42, are rolling over us. I might as well read it now. Keep your finger there. Let's go back to Psalm 42. I've got to make myself a little softer now, because I feel I'm hitting awfully hard and there's so much information going forward. It's too hard to absorb, but it is one continuous theme I'm speaking on in this message at this minute here. Listen, as the heart pants after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The soul is panting. The original seed is calling to Father. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Tired, sick and tired of vain theology. Sick and tired of that which cannot be proven. Sick and tired of simply words. It's like a person that's hungry, dreaming that he's eating and wakes up to find himself empty. And all the stomach can do is rumble and cause pains. The heart crying out to God. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say, where is thy God? Where is he? Pictures. Pictures. Where is your God? Shoot your mouth off like a bunch of stupid idiots, theologians, people that can't prove anything. Like an old B. Harris. She's a good old friend of mine. I won't mention this man's name, but he talked about putting money down to buy a certain house. And she called him by his initials, and she said, here's my $10,000. Put your money where your mouth is. I like that. What kind of a God have you got? What kind of theology? Put your money where your mouth is. I'm putting my money right there. There's my mouth. Vindication. I'm interested in vindication because anybody can talk. Any jackass can talk. You know, even if, why, when a man got out of order, old Balaam is sitting on a jackass. The jackass talked more sense than he did. Certainly. When I remember these things, I brought my soul to me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou described in me, hope thou in God? For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There it is right there. How can you have the countenance of God or anybody without the person being there? Well, I think the word countenance means, well, I won't countenance that. Oh, gosh, what are you talking? What's the Bible mean to see God face to face, yet you can't see his face and live? Face to face is when there's a prophet with a pillar of fire. And there's a picture of God face to face. That's the Bible. Do you know that's in the Bible? I just told you. I preached on it. Remember when I preached on it? That's good. Some of you shake your head. You got good memories. Almost better than mine. I can't remember what I preached on. To this day, I'm not using notes today, so you can accept scripture. You can tell me. I'm going to have an awful time if I don't get the tape myself. See, I wonder if I said that. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember. Now listen, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and the hill of Mizar. I will remember you for what you manifested. When all the enemy of Canaan's land were in fear and dread, I will go back and remember that. We don't have to go back. This is present tense because he's here. I don't care if the days of the Son of Man are over again. That doesn't bother me. If we never had them, I'd be bothered. But I'm not bothered because they pointed to him. And he's here. The days vindicate who's here. His countenance is here. And you know when the angel stood before Mary and said, she said, how will these things be? He said, it'll be by the Holy Ghost doing it, because all things are possible when God himself is present. And God himself is present, and he will bring forth a bride, literally like a man-child, standing right here on this earth, and they're not going to die. Now we better believe that for ourselves. Now watch. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Waterspout. What's a waterspout? Well, a waterspout is that thing in the ocean that kind of whirls down like a hurricane and licks up the water. It ain't that at all. A waterspout is like a spigot. It's a hollow place. It's a conduit. Then what is the waterspout? The noise of your word. It was noised abroad in Jerusalem concerning the falling of the Holy Ghost and the great things that happened. This has been noised abroad. Not a corner of the world was without it. This was more known in Africa than any event in the 20th century. Now nobody knows anything about it. I like to keep shouting it. The noise of your word. A gutter. A conveyor of water. It is the Word. And it is calling aloud to you and me. Now what does it say here? All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. This is the water from Ezekiel's vision. the eastern gate where the waters begin to flow, and pretty soon it was to the ankles, and that was Luther, and next it came up to the knee bones, and that was Wesley, and then it came up to the thighs, and that was Pentecost. But today we've gone beyond. There's something more than the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost Himself, which means the full Word of God with the full Holy Ghost, and taking a bride right over waters to swim in. And when you get tired swimming, you just rest, and He floats you across. That's the promise of a bride, brother, sister. Now listen, that's what's going to bring our souls up. You despondent? You got problems? Are you sick? Take this message for your healing. Spiritual, physical, material, mental. You know something? It can't fail. That's why we talk a day and night. Our home should be full of it. My home's not near full of it. I'm going to tell you that frankly. My wife and I talk too much about people instead of the person. It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. What do we care about events when you can talk about a person? Why talk about death when you can talk about life? Why eat junk food when you need good food? Throw every pie out the door. It's in the room. You'll see junk food and you'll see good food. I tell you, there is no table that's not full of vomit except our table. Providing we are at a vindicated table. The proven vitamins and minerals, spiritually speaking, when all the land is bereft of that which would feed the body, we have today given to us that which feeds the soul and the mind and the body. Because some people are not going to die. I am in that position, and I don't know if I really like it. Because I wouldn't mind getting out of here, but I got no news from God, I'm going. In fact, I have that horrible feeling that I feel just good enough to be 1,000 with troubles. And I'm not the Apostle Paul who could say, well, I'm caught between two things. I'd like to get out of here and be with the Lord, but I know I should be with you. I'm not going to say that. Because I don't have in my heart at this point enough to just want to be with the Lord and that's everything. Because that isn't everything, really. Because you got to understand, when you say everything, you got to realize what's in Him. And in Him is the millennium. In Him is that new body. In Him is that eternal life. In Him is that throne. In Him, all those things are in Him. So we must be quickened to the whole. Otherwise, you're just like a woman looking in a man's eyes, and you end up, by Brother Branham said, what can you see in that stupid little jerk? Well, he's got such cute feet. Jesus with the cute feet? With the nice fingers? Come on. You don't even look at the idea of Jesus Christ's death and say, that's it. That was the price paid for what you're going after. Now you exalt the fact and the truth of what He paid because somebody had to do it. And you find your heart in gratitude. But just, oh, what a terrible price He paid. I couldn't take that. No, it'd be wrong if I took that after the great price He paid. They're like David. They went down. He said, oh, I'd like to get a drink out of that spring. And those guys just cut their way through solid flesh to bring him a drink of water. And he said, I can't take that. And he poured it out unto the Lord. Now, I can understand that. Wouldn't it be kind of foolish if you and I tried that? Jesus, having cut Himself through the mass of sin and corruption right to the devil's heart. And liberty said, well, I just couldn't take that, this Jesus that died. I couldn't take what He paid for. Now, why did He pay it? You got God stupid now. See what I'm trying to tell us? Hey, look, it's time to understand. Brother Branham brought us from eternity to eternity and showed that I'm put on the board everything I was going to put on. Just leave it at this time, see. And show how we are here on this edge that goes back to eternity, completely fulfilled and God fulfilled, as I preached on the fulfillment of God. Two or three messages, see? Okay. 2 Timothy 1. Got a bit of time left? I'm going to finish with this. Second Timothy. Almost got to turn the air on, don't we? Get hot in here. I'm getting you folk warmed up. Maybe you're getting me warmed up. 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now, Brother Branham said, if God ever sends his power back into the church, it will be by grace and not by works. At mankind's lowest ebb, which is this hour? Yep. Because, listen, people and germs can survive water, but they can't survive fire. No, sir. Burn them up. Now look at, according to his own purpose and grace, look at here, which is what's given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, this one, it tells you, who has called us, saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. Now listen, let's just take a good look at that. Let's understand. Who has saved us? Who are the us? A part of God. And called us with an holy calling. Not according to works. Certainly not. According to what? According to our birth. According to who and what we are and were in Christ and that purpose. Which is by grace. Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So this thing up here that started here, physical, and came here, is that calling he's talking about. And is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, reverse that. What was up here? The seed. See? It was sowed. First resurrection time of Jesus. New Testament sowing. Right down here. Everyone was in Christ. Now come to full maturity. And notice, what was it? It's made manifest by the appearing of Jesus. First part of the first resurrection. Now the second part is made manifest by the appearing of Jesus. Now what calling are we looking at? We're looking at the calling that God called in himself to have a children who positively, though going astray, would be absolutely redeemed by himself, giving himself that glory, and bringing us to this place right here, the part of the first resurrection. And it's fully manifested, brother, sister, if we know anything about Scripture, anything about prophets, anything about vindication, anything at all that can be made visible somehow with any modicum of truth in it, any proof, then this is the hour we're living in. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. And remember, I already taught you and showed you that that is what? Hebrews 1 and 3, who being the brightness and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, left it to one side, took upon himself human flesh, and died. That's right. There's your calling. Consider the high priest. Who is he? Melchizedek. We're preaching on Melchizedek. Melchizedek. God in a form serving his own children. When? You that are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be made manifest from heaven. And say, little bride, you didn't even do it. Taking us back by the word of God to who and exactly what we are. And this is a tough thing, brother, sister. It was one of the toughest things. It's when E.W. Kenyon began preaching and teaching. He said the toughest thing he ever learned in his life was to confess what God said about him. And that's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, which tells us that we have become the righteousness of God. And he said, it's the toughest thing in the world for me to say, I am the righteousness of God. He said, but my God, I can't say that because, look, I got those evil thoughts in my mind. And not just evil thoughts, I can say some pretty evil words. And not just that, I could horn off and sock somebody right in the teeth. I get so mad. What if you confess the same thing that Jesus said about you? What would happen then? Be a difference. See, people will not say what God said. And the only sure way is to say what God said. And that's where the devil caught Eve. She wouldn't say what God said. She looked at what God said. That's all. But she would not really, she would not say it. She added to it. You can look right in the Bible and find for yourself. She added. And she was happy to take away. Something was wrong with that woman. She wasn't right. Okay? Let's go back and finish. Back to Ephesians, the first chapter. I love this. I could evidently preach for hours on this. There's so much here. And he said, I seek not to give thanks to make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him. Now, Paul had laid everything out. He had laid everything out, baptism, Holy Ghost, church order, everything you can possibly think of, marriage, relationships, you name it. He laid it all out. But he couldn't lay this out. Because this was something he couldn't talk about. This was something he himself did was not privy to. Except in the sense he knew it would be there. And he said, I cannot give it to you. Did he see what John saw? Did he hear what John heard? And he said, God told me not to say it, and God told John not to write it. Is this something left for William Branham? It certainly was. It was left for somebody. Because somebody's got to tell us that God may give the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him. The eyes your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what his hope is calling. And what the riches of glory's inheritance of the saints is. You can see right now what God called you to. God called you to what was within God himself. And what God had for you and for me, and he gave it to us. And now in the process of finishing up, it is all there for you and me. That's what we're looking at, brother, sister. Now let's keep it in our hearts, but not just in our hearts, in our minds. May the Holy Ghost dredge it up from our innermost being. I know he's very good to me that way in this respect. I can quote Brother Branham without even knowing I've quoted him. Preach sermons on what he said, not knowing he said it, but knowing he must have said it somewhere. From the subconscious, from the soul coming up. In relation to Scripture. Now it's time to interrelate with life, because let me tell you, the Word of God is the conduit. It's just like taking a vitamin pill. It's just like getting your vitamin A from eating carrots. See? Get fantastic vitamin E complete from eating green peas and pods, the whole bunch. You want a body purifier? Eat green stuff, nothing like chlorophyll. But listen, where's the conduit for the vitamins of God? Where's the conduit for the life? It's got to be Word. And that Word must come mechanical. But by the grace of God, listen, as the body can take certain elements that are not in it, and change those elements to the elements it needs from what is there, God knows that a mechanical word you and I are memorizing is not the key. So the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it into a liquid form that we can assimilate going down into our souls. And if we're smart, we'll eat and eat of this Word until the channels of our mind and our souls are so full of the Word of God that we in turn become full of the Word of God. That from that point on, we become the Word of God, and the Word of God flows out. Brother, sister, that's going to happen before there is a rapture. How's it going to happen? It's got to be between you. It's us. It's grace that allows it. It's grace that brought it. It's grace that turns it loose. Do we want to receive the grace of God? It means a free gift, brother. Sister, we got to learn to let go and let God. That's enough. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we're able to look at your Word, Lord, and see from eternity to eternity, see more and more what lies in this message that Brother Branham brought. So thankful, O God, that you bent our hearts and our minds to take this message, which we knew was going to be a tough one in a certain sense of the Word, Lord, because it meant that you'd have to do so much for us. But we see now that you're doing so much for us beyond even expectation until we realize this message, Lord, is loaded with the thoughts of God and literally the life of God, if we just look at it right, Lord. Now, Father, as you and your Word, Lord, you are one. Israel understood that. We understood that. The prophet certainly brought it forth. Now, Lord, let us be one, because you said it was right for us to be one with that Word. and one with you, Lord. All these things. You said in that day, and the prophet said that day was this day, the same as Pentecost. You shall know I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Lord, there is a knowledge, and we know there is a knowledge. And Father, help us to be the way the Apostle Paul was, though certainly he had what Brother Branham had. He confronted you. He talked face to face. We understand that. But Lord, we've got a picture here now in our own measure, Father. Help us to come to that place where the deep have been called to the deep within our measure, Lord, which we know there is a measure. That's right, because you said so. That measure of grace and revelation, the whole thing. May we in our measure, Lord, then be happy in understanding and satisfied, Lord, with the fount of blessing and not try to reach beyond ourselves, though we've got to do that in a certain way. But, Lord, not try to reach where Paul was or William Branham was, but to reach what they gave us, Lord, and then be happy and satisfied knowing that that must go to work in us. Lord, take away all agitation and all nerves. Let us be like the great old psalmist who said, so why art thou disquieted me? Hope thou in God. Shut up and begin to expect God to move. Lord, I believe that's the way it is here now with us. It's time to realize it. That, Lord, at this hour you can move. We've heard the sound of the goings in the mulberry bush. We have every indication and vindication, Lord. So help us this hour now not to leave here, Father God. With these words, simply some sermon was said. We got some little thought in our mind, some little tickle sensation because we hear things or know things that we've not known before. We can stand, Lord, that's not the way we want it. We want a word, Lord, you realize is food, O God. Feed us with the bread of life. Not missing one word, the life in the Word coming forth, Lord, until we become Word Christians, O God. We realize, Lord, there are people out there in this world, they could eat fish day and night, three times a day. And they're fish people, Lord, we know that. They're people that eat beef. They're like beef people, Lord. They got certain personalities, without a doubt. But Lord, let us be a Word-eating people. Three times a day, day in and day out, Lord, as it were, feeding on your word and that life coming forth, we're word people. Oh, God, we know that one within us must be fed to manifest. Help us, Lord, in this respect. Or either, Lord, you can help us by bopping us good one way or the other, bringing us low. Whatever it is, Father, we're not going to tell you what to do. We're just asking you, Lord, that by your grace and mercy, which has been vindicated in our behalf, if we are slothful in any way, which we know we are, oh, God, we are here to be corrected because this is the house of correction. Let it fall upon us here, upon, Lord, with the dynamism of terror falling upon us, Lord, lest we miss one word. Help us, oh, God, we pray. Make us sincere as the prophet was. That's one thing we can ask for. We can't ask for what he had, and we don't want to ask for it, Lord, but we can ask for the same sincerity, the same respect, the same solemnity, oh, God, within our souls. Until, Lord, we are a different people, a segregated people by the Word of God. Bless each one today, Lord, I pray. May there not be one sick amongst us. We ask the Lord to heal, O God, and give strength, Lord, as never before. We give you the praise in Jesus' name, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.